I remember the very first time I was ordained and I was finally allowed to officiate at the communion table. At first I was, you know, just excited because it was a great opportunity, right, to finally fulfill all my hard work of study at seminary and the process of ordination and all those different steps you have to take and questions and papers and everything, and I was just happy that I was there. And so I thought, oh gosh, you know, everything is complete. But then as I was breaking the bread, the holiness came over me. The sacraments are holy. And it changed me. And it humbled me. And it reminded me what a blessing it is to say the good news, to break that bread and know that there is such meaning behind it, that this body of Christ is broken for you and for me. And as I held the cup up and proclaimed the new covenant that was sealed in Jesus' blood for the forgiveness of sins, it meant something new to me all over again, that Christ did this for me. As we venture deeper into our study of the Acts, early church, it's nice to think about the new Christians. Everything for them was new. The whole learning process of living out faith as Jesus had taught them was new. How would they be a community together? What of their old ways of living? What do they leave behind? What do they take with them? And Paul, who we learn from many of the letters he wrote to the area churches, writes in detail to address concerns that he has, teachings that he feels each place needs to work on, and conflicts that have already arisen in the young churches. In the first century, worship services, and particularly the practice of sharing communion in the community of faith, there are issues. As a matter of fact, in one of the churches, Paul writes to them, there's a rich man named Gaius. And back then, they didn't have big school buildings like we do to meet in, right? And they were a new church. And so they met in people's homes. And Gaius was a very wealthy man. And so he had big enough space to hold them all, right? But when they had communion, more people came than normal, of all different ages and all different backgrounds and very diverse and very different. And when you looked around the room, you thought, wow, this is cool. Everybody's together. But let's think about Gaius for a second. It's his house, right? And he's wealthy. And so who do you think he gives the best place to sit in his house? His friends, right? Gives them lounge chairs to sit in. And they're right in the heart of the atrium where all the exciting things in worship are happening. And they're, you know, gifted with, you know, this beautiful singing. And then all of the poorer people who happened upon Gaius's house for church were sort of on the outskirts and could barely see and barely hear and didn't have a place to sit. And you can imagine what Paul thought when he heard about it. He says, "You got it all wrong. The body of Christ is one. We may live differently in a variety of different ways. We may have more money than someone else. We may have a larger house than someone else. We may have different opportunities than someone else. We might look differently than someone else. We might speak differently than someone else. But we are all one in the body of Christ." And he challenged them to rethink the class structure, especially when it came to living out Christ. On this World Communion Sunday, I want us to think about what it would mean if every time we celebrated this sacrament, every single time, we remembered that what we wanted to do in that moment was to be like Jesus. Not symbolically, not, oh, it's bread again, it's juice again, it's the same thing we always do, right? Not to be forgotten as soon as we walk out into the parking lot. But instead, that we would be filled and built up from the cornerstone of Christ to do his work and bidding throughout our lives. It was interesting. When I first ran into Susan this morning, she said she read an article recently that talked about how World Communion is celebrated around the world and that everyone is doing it. And that's true. We do. We celebrate it. And actually, if we had a really great connection to the internet, I could pull up, there's a prayer site on World Communion Sunday that everybody types in their prayer requests from all around the world, and you can see it. And it's so amazing because even right now, somewhere else, you know, someone is breaking a pita bread of their own type, or a banana bread, or naan, which is the bread of the people of India. They are breaking bread and sharing the cup in the same place that we are. Asking that Jesus would come into their lives and would make a difference and would change them. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, life can be unpredictable. Do you ever have surprises? Like, do you ever wake up and think it's going to be a great day and you have everything planned out and it's all going to work to your advantage, and then, oh my goodness, the first thing you do when you get out of bed is trip over your own feet, right? And then instead of putting toothpaste on your toothbrush, you put, you know, hair gel, and you know, and it just goes on and on from there, right? It's a crazy time, and the days are unpredictable. But when we come to faith, when we come to the table, we want to meet Jesus here, united as one. And the table brings us comfort. It reminds us of story. It reminds us of Jesus' Last Supper with his closest friends, where he himself chose to emphasize as his last words to them, "I am with you always. Remember me." Our story in Acts today is significant to me. First of all, because it says the word cornerstone and talks about it, which is the name of our beloved church. But also because it's a wonderful story of how the early church impacted the community. Did you hear what really happened? I mean, Peter and John were out there preaching, right? Talking about the good news of Jesus Christ and asking people to reorient their lives and to change. And then along come, sounds like Jesus is still here, right? The priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees. You can imagine them, right? In all of their glory, you know, coming up to Peter and John who are preaching to the people. And they are annoyed, it says. That exact word, they're annoyed. And they're annoyed because Peter and John are teaching the people and proclaiming that Jesus is the resurrection of the dead. And so guess what they did? Do you remember what it said? They arrested them. And they put them in prison. And it was nighttime, and so they were in there overnight before they could have a trial. And the next day they were brought out into the place of the trial setting, and they were asked, "By what power and whose name did you do this?" And it says this great thing. And Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, all of the people of Israel, that this man standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," remember last week, "whom God raised from the dead, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, and it has become the cornerstone." Now, I don't want you to miss another part of it. For even as Peter and John were taken away to jail, you know, they were probably roped together their hands and escorted off to jail, right? The Bible makes sure to let us know that 5,000 people came to love Jesus before they went. If you were questioned today as to why Jesus is important to you, if you had to explain it, if you knew you would go to jail if you talked about it, which I remind you happens all around our world. Would you do it? I ask you this morning to pray at this World Communion table that God would so fill you with the Holy Spirit, so fill you with the love of Jesus Christ, that you might go out into this world as peacemakers anew, emphasizing sacrificial love and Jesus Christ's reign for now and forevermore. Amen. On this World Communion Sunday, when we gather in this familiar place,